Yes, good morning, everyone. We're here to understand what's the origins of the pathways or principles or laws of health as it relates to our mental, physical, and spiritual reality. So when we talk about pathways, when we talk about principles, when we talk about laws, these are things that are governing forces in the universe that is here to aid us now. If something is here to aid us, or I'm calling them, I'll lead to that part, okay, that here to aid us, to assist us, to help us, to bring us to a higher consciousness of reality, help us see what's going on, help us live, breathe, exist, and it has what we call likes and dislikes. So that would be, you could take likes and dislikes in many different ways. They like something, dislike something. Or you can put it as positive and negative. And if it's positive and negative, it'll attract or it'll push it away. So if you do what it likes and you like what it does, then y'all attract. So that means it's like a magnet, you'll pull together. Then if it's something that you don't like, or it doesn't like, then it'll be like pushing you away, magnetic fields. So even our likes and dislikes, our attitude, all of those things can be placed on how close you are to something, how much you like something or dislike something. It can be placed in a mental thinking rather than just two magnets that have a north and a south pole. They join together, or the two north poles or the two south poles, you put them together and they repel each other. Likes, dislikes, repelling, joining together. On a mental note, that would be in the physical world, physical, mental, spiritual. In the physical world, it would be forces, okay? Attract or distract. In the mental world, it would be something you can call you like or dislike. If you like it, you're going to get more of it. You'll be with it. If you don't like it, you're going to run away from it or repel it. So this is one way that we can look at the physical and the mental world. And I believe it would probably be the same on the spiritual world. But for us to understand the mental and the spiritual world, which we cannot see, which we cannot use. The mental world you might be able to measure, even the spiritual world, but it's not as easy. So what the ancients and what the Creator had laid out was, he said that he's going to let us see everything in the physical world. And then as we understand the laws in the physical world, then we apply them to the mental world and the spiritual world. So that's what we're actually doing. We're actually going to go through and try to talk about things that are going on in the mental and the spiritual world that we physically cannot see, but we can feel its result on the physical plane in reference to forces. Forces or things joining together or repelling each other. Okay. So when we think about that, when we talk about those ideas, we're going to be looking at 9 pathways. In the past, I used to call these laws because these are laws that govern the universe. And then as I was reading the ancient text, they used the word pathway. They don't use the word laws. So I said, okay, that's simple. That's interesting. And then someone else told me, hey, principles. They don't like the word laws. Laws are too restrictive. So they like what we call principles. And that says that's a little more palatable. So I think about laws. Like we have laws here that govern you if you drive a car. And there's laws that govern you, you know, speed limit, red lights, green light, yellow light. Making sure you can see, make sure you can hear. Laws that govern your driving. Otherwise, you have a bunch of accidents. When you can drink alcohol, when you shouldn't drink alcohol, when you should not be driving, when you're under any influence of any drugs. So there's laws that govern everything to help us, you know, help everybody to work together and cooperate so we don't have many accidents and so forth. So you have these laws to help us in the realm of everyday life. And now and I remember we have statutes on the book and people are entered into judgments and people testify, testimony. So all of these are the same things that are written in the ancient texts. The Bible talks about in the books of Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Leviticus, statutes, laws, judgments, and ordinances, which we use the same words to govern, you know, society. So to govern his monarchy under monotheism, where you're worshiping a creator, and the creator also is your king, is your ruler, as you acknowledged him as that, not just say, okay, he's God, he created everything. No. It's not talking about that. It's monarchy. To get that means monotheism, or to be under a theocracy. That's the word, theocracy. To be under theocracy, that means you accept the rulership and governingship of this one ruler. So in America, we have the rulership under the president, if you like him or not. So in the Old Testament, they had the time of Moses and stuff. They had people governing that were judges, patriarchs, and stuff like that. Then you move forward, and then you got kings and so forth, and then that becomes a mess. Whenever you got man ruling over man, you have a mess, and that's what we had. And so that's why the kingdoms fell apart, and they had kings and so forth. And so today, that's why things falling apart now under the presidency. Because you have man ruling man, which is not a good thing. So, okay, so I'm going to read the first sentence here. As mentioned in other chapters, most societies and religions borrow heavily from Kemet, or what we call Egypt. The principle of understanding nature, the creator, the force, energy, is in everything. And this keeps everything alive. Now, when we talk about that word that, I should have not missed that. Energy. Okay. When I'm talking about what's mentioned in other chapters, society borrowing heavily from the religion of Kemet, does everybody understand that?
Understand what?
Of how people were stealing and people were taking things from ancient Egypt. The word borrow.
What do they call some it?
Some would call it plagiarism.
Oh, you mean that not stealing physically from the graves? You mean like, yeah, obviously taking the math and taking the, you know, they were teaching people how to do stuff, and then they claimed like that they were the ones that made it up. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. We got the universities and colleges as if they didn't exist in ancient Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess the word borrowed is not a good word?
That's a terrible word.
Okay, borrowed heavily. What did you understand that to mean? I mean, in my mind, that's what it was clear, but okay, what were you meaning? What did that sentence mean to you?
Something that was handed to you to help you move forward in life.
Okay.
Borrowed. I mean, the word itself, borrowed heavily. Heavily. I mean, doesn't sound, just from that description, doesn't sound like something was stolen or taken by force. It was more so given to them and they took advantage.
Well, no, I think borrowed is, I mean, borrow, when you think about, okay, I'm going to borrow a pair of shoes for my friend or whatever, that you know that the shoes belong to your friend. And your friend also knows that the shoes belong to them. So that you know it's not yours. You're just using it for a little while. But you do plan to give it back. And also you would never try to pass it off as your own app because you're just borrowing it. It's not yours.
Okay. All right. So, okay, so now that you guys know exactly what I'm trying to communicate, how would I phrase that? Okay.
Read the sentence
again. All right. Let me give you a better example also. When they came into Egypt, Alexander the Great, he would go around the world taking stuff, you know, after they conquered them and, you know. And then, so it's specifically in Africa, in Egypt. See, they didn't have libraries. They didn't have university. They didn't have college. They didn't have any of that. So when, you know, I mean, you saw the 300, you know, the movie. They were just barbarians, man. I'm not killing everybody. So, and as they said, they built a, you know, a very heavily, you know, war machine. So when they, a perfected war machine, man. So when they came into Egypt and they conquered it and saw the books, this is the first place they ever seen a library before. This was like the Library of Congress. That's where they got the idea of Library of Congress from, too. But they go around the world. And so in Egypt, when and anybody that came to Egypt, then they would go on your ships and you would have to give them your books, whatever books you got. That was that was your taxation because they went to knowledge. And so after the years, you know, they would have their own books and books from around the world, and it would just keep building and building. So that's how they call it the library. And now today we hear about the Library of Alexandria as if, the, you know, Alexander built a library. The guy was a barbarian. He didn't even know how to read, so how he going to build a library? You know? So, but these are the ways it was thrown out. So he said, okay, what we're going to do in these libraries and in these schools, okay, these schools were schools of what we call Netarus, Neta, and N-T-R is like Yahweh, Y-H-W-H. There are no vowels in the ancient text. Now, it's a very interesting. Did y'all know what hieroglyphics meant? It stood for, translated, the sacred text. That's what it was called. Hieroglyphics meant the sacred text. So it was like the word of God, in essence. The same as what we would call the Bible. That's how they got the word, the Bible, the sacred, you know, the word of God. That's where they got that from. Hieroglyphics of the text of the that these guys were translating. So the only people that could read this stuff, the only people that was allowed to read this stuff was just the priests. It was a priestly writing. The writings of the gods that you would communicate with the creator, or the creator would give this to you. You would write it. So hieroglyphics and all of that was all related, very sacred and very holy. And then there was another type of text, I think Sanskrit was the text for the normal people, for the people that were not connected to the creator from that perspective. And so just trying to give us a brief understanding of the Kemetic world, because what we see today is not it. And so they had it such that the people that would learn these things would be the governors of their civilization, society. And they would make sure that they would be watching you. So you would be, you know, they're watching you from childhood and so forth. You know, the community is watching you, you know, because it takes a community to raise a child. So you have the community, you're going through different things, and they're watching to see, you know, who has the spiritual insight, the spiritual leading, such that they can rule the people rightly. It's not that, you know, that those are the type of people that we need. And so then they would be part of the priesthood or the sacred texts, or as the Europeans call it, the secret societies. And they would go after they were chosen and picked out and so forth, then they would take them and bring them to the temple or the college, more like it, the college, not the temple. So they would take them to these different colleges and universities. And in a university, you have different colleges, right? You have the College of Engineering. Or you'll have a different college or schools, I guess that's what they're called, schools. College is just a small one. So if you have a university, you have different schools, School of Engineering, School of Medicine, School of Science, School of Liberal Arts, all of those different things. And so under these schools, then you have specific studies. Like in engineering, you have civil, chemical, electrical, mechanical, all of these different types of fields under one school. And so they had these different schools. And each of these schools were like netarus. And they were set up such that you would learn about the sun. You would learn about water. You would learn about air. You would learn about the different things that are surrounding you such that you can use them to its ability. It's further its ability for you, the community, for the system. And so they would entrust this knowledge to you to be able to use for the betterment of the society and civilization. So today we have people who learn the sciences on a college level. And when they learn it, they use it to make profit and rip people off, in essence. So you go to school, you study a specific trade or whatever, you go and learn about chemistry, you learn about biology, then you start making food, okay, combining chemicals, this, that, the other, and combining foods and different things, and or you start making inventions, you know, cars, radio, cell phones, you know, all different type of things, refrigerators, washer, dryers, whatever, you know, you're making. So you're making all of these different things, but you needed higher education to do that. And so in this society, the people that have this knowledge, then we get hired in these big companies, Fortune 500 companies, to make them money. And as we make them money, then they trickle down some money to us, and that's what, you know, materialism and so forth. Now that you've done this, you have this knowledge here, go buy this stuff. You know, go buy a house, go buy a car, go buy. Now you have shown that you have achieved, you have become, you know, important or whatever in this realm or this society. And so as I told my students when I was teaching engineering, I said, listen, guys, okay, when y'all come up with an invention, you have to make it sustainable. You have to make sure, look at the whole life cycle, how are you going to, you know, recycle it, how are you going to work with it once it's finished and done, okay? So you have to be able to make and design things in that manner. So when you're working it and making it, then when guy comes to you and says, okay, hey, this is a little high, can we lower the price more? Okay, you take out this, that, and the other. Okay, now, okay. Oh, can we lower it down even more? It's up to you to say that since you're making the device or whatever you're doing, invention, sustainable. No, you cannot remove anything else from it. That is your responsibility to say that morally so that you're not polluting the planet, that you're not, you know, destroying the environment. You're not destroying people's lives through, you know, smoking cigarettes, okay, or they find out the red dye number 5 causes cancer. Or they know that the meat industry, that they're shooting all these drugs up in them and it's, you know, and, you know, getting into the actual people. You know, all this MSG, it makes your brain think that you're hungry. Terminator seeds. So all the list of all of these different things that are going on that are non-sustainable, non-environmentally friendly, non-anything. Just like the coal industry, you know, burning all the coal and putting ozone holes in the holes in the ozone, using all of this fossil fuel, these oils that's that we live off of, and, you know, driving the cars with the petrol that they're using. So we have a society that is built on almost everything. The inventions are built to destroy people so that a few people can make more profit and kill off the planet, kill off the animals, kill off the environment, kill off. And so that would not be allowed in the ancient world. No, you can't do that. So that's why the only special people would go to college if you had a spiritual sense to be able to keep everything in check. So it wasn't the common knowledge for the common people like it is today. So then in your invention in today's society, you have now, as an engineer or whatever you are, a doctor or a biochemist, or you have now a moral obligation, a spiritual obligation to make sure that your products and anything that you're doing is beneficial to the earth, to the planet, and is sustainable and is not, you know, wiping everybody out so that you can make a buck. So that's the difference of that ancient world and what we live in today. Even though, and that's why they didn't have colleges and universities in the barbarian society. Okay, they wasn't interested in that. They're interested in killing, looting, and, you know, taking gold and silver and whatever. And when in the other society, they wasn't interested in that, they were interested in how do we advance, how do we help people become more enlightened? Because that's what life was about, how to be enlightened and live in harmony with the universe, to live in harmony with each other, live in harmony with everybody. So that's the difference between now. So now today, the question is, okay, how do we keep these guys from building these inventions and putting stuff inside of the chemicals, inside of our food, and feeding us this trash and giving us these drugs that they only treat symptoms, they're not even healing people. How do we keep them from ever knowing this knowledge and allowing them to reach this state of a society that is basically destruction. How do we do that? Now, in the past, it was real simple how they did it. They didn't allow you in the colleges. So you didn't have access to all of this knowledge that could be used for destructive purposes. Now, and I spoke with a few people letting them know that, you know, that's how the ancient world solved it. And maybe that's how we should do it today. You know, if you're not spiritual enough, then you should not be allowed to learn this, go to college and learn these different traits. Then they say, nah, Emmanuel, you can do that today. Yeah, everybody should have access to this stuff. Okay, so everybody should have access to kill everybody, right? That's like giving somebody, a kid, a gun. Okay? All right, I don't like you. I'm shooting you. Well, why? No, I mean, because you looked at me the wrong way. You know? But that's basically what you have when you have this type of knowledge. You create Terminator seed. You create MSG. You create drugs that don't heal, that just, you know, treat you. You run all of these games. You can imprison, you know, three strikes and you're out. And then if you got coke, you know, hey, you don't, you know, nothing, you don't serve no time. But if you're using crack cocaine because it's cheaper, yeah, you go to jail life. You know, this whole system. And I said that, you know, if we didn't allow people to have that knowledge, and those that had it was strictly, you know, kept themselves on a level of spiritual and looking out for, you know, have different principles, morals of themselves. And they would be picked out by the community to move the community forward. That I think we could solve a lot of our problems. They told me, no, Emmanuel, you can't do that. That's not right. So let me hear your viewpoint. How would y'all solve this problem of this insanity that's going on today as it relates to foods, knowledge of biology, chemistry, engineering, all of these different fields that is poisoning us or killing us, you know, using nuclear bombs. Engineers, blame it on engineers that was building and stuff. You know, how would you think would be a good way to restrict that from happening?
I mean, I don't think you can restrict it from happening. People are going to do whatever they want to do. Just like people have done whatever they wanted to do for a long time. But, I mean, you can help yourself and your family and your friends and put the word up, you know, and have community gardens and all that kind of stuff so that people aren't ingesting all this crazy stuff that they put into our food. I mean, but to get them to stop, I mean, people can't even control their own kids. So you think we're going to be able to control other people? I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the thing is, it's the same way with anything. Once someone has power, once one has authority, once one has a plan of action that's actually working and benefiting them, it's not really about what does society need as a whole, what does this need as a whole. It's more like, what do I need to keep myself good in this capitalist world? So you can do what you can for yourself and your family, and you can reach out to others so that they're doing something along those lines. That may possibly be the only way to bring it down. If you have enough people who are seeking knowledge and understanding other things, then if you get enough people off it, then it will affect the system. It's probably the only way.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, I was just trying to make sure y'all got a better sense of the ancient world and how it compares to today, how they thought it through. So when these Greeks came into Egypt and different parts of the world, they would, you know, translate everything into Greek. And then they say, okay, now we're going to take the books and we're going to burn them if we don't like them. But making sure that we got it copied over in the Greek first. And then they would take the books that they liked. And then they'd take them back to Europe and put them in dungeons and, you know, hiding places or wherever, so that no one would have access to it but them. You see? So there is, you got that again. So when they did that, then they said, okay, well, let's not do that. Now we need to set somebody up over these Egyptians, these Africans, because if we're not careful, man, these guys are going to get out of hand. Don't they set up, you know, people over them to charge them? And so there's some text that, you know, the Greeks go back in time and say that they are the original, that they are the creators of civilization. And that's what we are taught today. So with that, how would I phrase, so that's one side of it. That's how they came in and steal it. Then you have another side that the Egyptians, that once you were taught in these schools, as the Europeans would call them, secret societies, or whatever you want to call them, really colleges and universities, once you were taught there, then you would take that knowledge to different parts of the earth and share this knowledge with different communities or different societies, nations, and so forth, so that you can, you know, so that they can elevate, you know, go toward enlightenment versus materialism as we have it today. So when they would do that, then they would say, okay, now that we're in your community here, we're going to teach you this. And the most people that wanted to hear that was their spiritual leaders there, their shamans or their witch doctors or whatever phrase we want to use. That's how, you know, the Europeans have classified anybody that's spiritual and other societies rather than Christianity. That's how they are. That's how we're taught to believe that. So when that occurred, then you would teach them and you would say, okay, and you would, so then they would be able to implement different things that they couldn't before. And then at that point, you would let them say, okay, now there is no creed. There is no church manual. There is nothing written down to the point that you have to follow these things in this manner, such that now you can teach these teachings, these principles of truths, these different things to your community and the history and so forth, however way it'll best fit in with your society and your history and your background. Because everybody would be different, every community would be different, different levels and so forth. So it wasn't like, you know, hey, we're going to come in and with missionaries and this is how we're going to teach you God. And y'all going to heaven or hell if you don't listen to us. And, you know, and if you don't worship this white Jesus, then, you know, you're lost. And that we're the, you know, super race and we're the gods of this world. And all this crazy stuff that's going on. So they taught that they didn't want their stuff to be put into a system such that it can be turned to be used like that. So they said that you can, you know, incorporate any way you want. So as an example would be, we have today the Bible, and a lot of the Bible was written at the time of Moses, who learned all the wisdom of Egypt. So you would see in the writings of the Bible Egyptian, you know, teachings. But it would be turned to help you understand it, not from an Egyptian viewpoint, but from a Hebrew viewpoint, if you were Hebrew, or if you were Chinese, or Indian, or Asian, or Korean, or whatever, whoever was in charge of that society would, you know, try to have it fit in with your culture, such that you can learn about it, and I guess eventually you think it's yours. And so when we look at it from that perspective, there's two things going on. One is stealing it, like the Greeks did. The other is these Egyptian masters or priests or whatever you want to call these people that go out into these other societies around the world to teach them and train them and help them to grow. So you're getting knowledge two different ways. Now, the question is, that sentence that I have there, keeping in mind, that's the reason why I use borrowed. Some are plagiarizing, some are thieves, but some are we've given it to them. So how would we phrase that? Because that's what I want to communicate to the masses that read this.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Okay, the sentence is, as mentioned in other chapters, most societies and religions borrowed heavily from Kemet or Egypt. Now, and I just explained to y'all how other religions and other societies received this knowledge. Some stole it, and some we gave it to them because that's what enlightenment is about, teaching and helping other societies. And then as time went on, some of these societies forgot that they learned it from Egypt. What is that wrong with it? I mean, those that we gave it to them freely. And others that stole it, they don't want for nobody to know that we got it from Africa. So that's what I'm trying to say in that sentence of how to best say that.
Well, I think
somebody,
it's difficult.
Okay, somebody's going to be making a lot of noise. Somebody's going to be making a lot of noise in the background.
It's me. I took myself off of mute. I'm getting in my car. I made a smoothie for breakfast. I mean, I'm doing lots of stuff. However, I've been muting myself so you can't hear all the stuff I'm doing. But I think it'd be very, I don't know. I mean, it's not really one blanket statement you can make for that because, okay, even if I give something to you freely, it's not you borrowing it from me. If I say, hey, Dad, you know, you can have my car. I mean, even if, you know, when people ask, where'd you get the car from? You say, oh, my daughter gave it to me. Okay, fantastic. But it's your car now. It's not my car. So if you're giving, you know, freely this information for people to take it however they want, you know, and give it to their people because you want the world to make sure, to want the world to become a better place, you know, and all that kind of stuff, then, I mean, I don't think the word is borrowed. I don't know what the, I mean, but again, I mean, you could say, I mean, but this sounds so much better than what the Europeans did, which, by the way, I think are absolutely brilliant because they just take over everything and make people believe that they didn't take over, that or that they needed to take over or that they didn't steal or they didn't kill. It's very interesting. They're brilliant in a horrible way. But you could say, I had it in my head, not borrowed, but I don't know. I have to think about it. But I don't think, I mean, there's not really one blanket statement you can make, I think. You know, many have, I don't know. I don't know what kind of blanket statement you can make that's going to work. I'm going to mute myself. I mean, because it's different. There are lots of different, you know, I don't know. It's different. I mean, yeah, you share it with everybody, but, I mean, some people, you know, took it and burned down your libraries, and some people said, okay, thank you, and, you know, turned it into Buddha or whatever, you know, whatever they wanted to do, but at least they didn't. I mean, but then again, like you said, if people forget, okay, that's something that actually came from you anyway, it's not like obviously you were that worried about people knowing it came from you, because if you were, then, you know, you would have done it differently. But you're just trying to help the planet as a whole, right? and help society as a whole. So, you know, hence why you just, you know, went around the world and tried to help people grow spiritually and mentally and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, cool. Yeah, definitely. Jabari, I still got to put it down. I'm trying to still mentalize clearly. Like you said, think about it, and you had it on your tip of your tongue to be lost.
Maybe it was relied heavily upon this information, blah, 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 because they did. That's what I was thinking, maybe. I don't know if it'll fit in that sense. I'm not looking at it right now, but you could maybe do something like that.
Relied. Okay.
Relied heavily upon, you know, this when creating their own, you know, whatever. Because, I mean, they did. Yeah, that's actually a very true statement. So maybe that's the better statement. Because borrowed is not really. But even relied heavily doesn't, I mean, it just seems like they just took a lot from it, which is exactly... Yeah, which is exactly what they did.
Okay, cool. Got that comment? Mm-hmm. Jabari?
Learned and... what's the word? Learned and... Confiscated. I don't know.
Confiscated. Sound like they didn't steal it. That's why I said, Dad, it's hard to do a blanket statement because, yeah, I mean, it's difficult to do a blanket statement because it all wasn't taken the same way.
Well, I said learned. I said they were taught it and then they took it. That's all I'm saying. So learned and confiscated. That's what I was thinking. But no, that's just what I hear.
Yeah, maybe that does.
Or we're taught and then confiscated.
You like that word confiscated though, huh?
I can't think of another word. What word?
It's a good word for that.
Confiscated? Okay. Interesting. Okay. Now, did y'all know that that's how the ancient world practiced?
What? By teaching?
Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff that I had shared. I mean,
so other people
operated. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a biblical scripture to talk about it. So, yeah, I could. Now, the problem is we've just gone so in another direction to the point where everyone wants to take credit for the first thing and they want to hide everything rather than, you know, share with others. Maybe because of fear of that someone will do to them what they did to them. So maybe that's what it is. Fear of karma. So maybe that's what it is. Probably is what it is, actually. If not maybe, it's probably what it is.
Well, then that means that you'll be thinking on that frequency all the time. Of how, you know, because you like you said, you stole everything, you robbed and stole, and so you think everybody else wants to rob and steal from you. Because, I mean, so that's the frequency. That's your mindset. Which is not good, by the way. But it is a fact. Okay, all right. That's cool. Yeah, because I know that I was trying to communicate that, and I didn't want to... I mean, I can't write all that stuff out in that one paragraph trying to explain how everybody got this stuff. I'll do that in another chapter. I'll do that in another chapter. Of how the Greeks heavily borrowed, or Greeks heavily infused themselves, mutated themselves into history. And that's when I talk about that. And that's probably when I'll talk about that. When I talk about when the Greeks mutated themselves, according to Josephus, mutated themselves into this, you know, world. And, you know, stole everybody's history and lied and put themselves in history and said everything began with the Greeks, when they know that they didn't have anything but barbarism to offer the world. So, you know, all that stuff. So that's another chapter. Okay. So that's why I said, you know, hey, as mentioned in other chapters, you know, so go back, check it out. Okay, cool. All right. Now, this part, the principle of understanding nature, the creator, the force, energy. That is everything that is in everything, and this keeps everything alive. Okay, so when we talk about a principle of how things keep everything alive, we'll cover that in a minute. This is not a new thought, but an old principle being practiced throughout the world, found in almost every Aborigine community, religion, and nation. In Kemet, they taught about Netter, or Netu, or Netter. This term can be interpreted in many ways and mean many things, because translating from the Kemetic ancient text to another language like Greek, we can and have sometimes lost the true or original meaning of the term. So it's like Yahweh, Y-H-W-H. And then somebody says, okay, well, we're going to spell it out. You can't spell it out. Ain't nobody know what the vowels are, where they belong. That's nonsense. So some people say his name is, you know, unpronounceable. Mm-hmm. And so that's what some people get Jehovah. No, you know, you have no clue, so stop fooling around with it. So then the ancient word was NTR, no vowels. So people had inserted vowels in there to mean Netru, Netru, Netur, whatever. Now, how did these people get that? Or how did, I don't know. I have no clue. But this related to the principles that you would use to, you know, principles that are surrounding you, that you can practice, that can bring you closer to the Creator, with one, with the energy, build up more energy in your system, in your body, connect you more with the Creator, and all of those different things. And that's why I put there, gives you a principles of understanding nature, understanding the Creator, understanding energy, how energy is created, cannot be created nor destroyed. Is that sort of paragraph a little clear, or is it not really sort of vague? So,
I think it's clear. I mean, like you said, the insert of vowels everywhere, and I mean, I don't know. But again, I mean, I don't know. People want to make it something that they can relate to, something they can read, something they can understand. So they want to put stuff, they want to put vowels in it, and, you know, change things around so that they can say or do it. But I never understood why people do that, because, I mean, then you're changing it from the original, and why would you want to do that?
Well, so that you can read it. I mean, how many people?
No, I understand. Okay, but you don't have to be able to pronounce everything. You don't have to be able to read everything. You can't change my name from Rahima because you can't pronounce it, and then call me Ree, which is what people tried to do when I was younger. And I told them, like, nah, I don't have a nickname. So, I mean, you can't, don't just give me a name. No, learn my name or don't call me anything. That's what I tell people now. Like, seriously, I do not have a nickname. And people are like, oh, for real? Yeah, for real. So learn my name. So, I mean, and it's exactly what they could do for that. Yo, you can't add letters in his W, you know, YW, what is it, YWH? No, YW, wait, tell me again.
Y-H-
I'm not looking at it.
YHWH.
Yeah, there it is. So, okay, mm-hmm. And you can pronounce it however you want in your mind, but you're not going to change the way the person's name is. That's ridiculous. I don't understand. But everybody, I told you, everybody's been trying to do that for forever, for me. So obviously for other people with more difficult names or for names like that which have nothing, no vowels in it, so it's weird to pronounce, but it doesn't give you permission to change. That's just stupid. Seriously.
Yeah, so need lots
people
of
are
things.
Bold, man. I'm going to call you... I'm going to call you Ree. No, you're not. No, you are not. You jerk.
Good point. Any comment, Javari?
No. No, really.
Okay. All right, so now this is the good part. This is the next part. This is the good part. The Greeks did not know what netter, N-T-R, meant. Meant so, they called them gods with the small g. But to be more accurate, it would refer to spirit beings like angels, not gods. Mm-hmm. As time went on and the church got hold of the ancient documents and started to study Egypt, they created what is called Egyptology. Did you know that? The church created Egyptology?
Hmm.
That sounds about right. I mean, that helps fit into the notion that these were not holy people. I mean, maybe they were kind of smart, you know, but at the end of the day, they worshiped five different gods for this and for that and sacrificed and all this crazy crap. You know, when you're like, that doesn't even, you know, because that would turn people off from them. Like, okay, well, we only believe in one God, so these people are wrong. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's very helpful.
Egyptology. I thought it was created by Egyptians. No, man, it was created by the Europeans.
I mean, if you listen to the word itself, obviously it's not something they would make for themselves. So that name in itself should be a giveaway. That's probably not, you know, probably not their name for themselves.
No, their name was Kemet. We don't even, you know, we don't even use the right name for it.
Yeah, I know.
But the Greeks say, hey, we can change history. Hey, you are no longer Nubians. You are now Kush. Burnt-faced people. That's it. And don't say anything else.
And that's why I said Europeans go so hard. And, I mean, you only have to respect how hard they go. It's ridiculous. I don't agree with it. But, I mean, just think about it. They have rewritten lots of history. They've rewritten African history. They've rewritten Native American history. They've rewritten probably Chinese history. I have no idea. I don't know too much about Chinese history. But they take everything. They rewrite it, reinvent it. Then they take the people and kill the people, or they're not killing the people, they're enslaving the people. They're not enslaving the people, they're raping the people. They're doing all this crazy stuff to people so that everyone keeps their mouth shut. So at the end of the day, when they say, oh, who wrote this book? I mean, you're not going to say you wrote it because, I mean, you know, the guy who killed your mom is sitting right next to you. So, I mean, that's crazy. Like, they just go so hard. It's like, yo, you do not have to go that hard. Like, why don't you come up with something of your own? But why would they when they can just do this? They've been doing this ever since they stumbled upon the Egyptian library. They're like, oh, snap, this is awesome. Let me take this. Like, what? It's crazy. But
yes,
got to respect how hardcore they go because they are so hardcore. You have to. You can't. You have to respect that. I don't get that. I don't agree with it. But, I mean, come on, man. Who else goes that hard? That's just, like, hard for no reason.
So now the question
actually
is...
Actually, it's hard for history.
Okay, say you accept it. Okay, so what? Okay, so what does that mean when you accept it? Does that mean that you bow to it or that you're trying to figure your way out of it?
No. It means that I understand it. I get it. You have to, like, you can't just because people, what people do is they underestimate people all the time, right? So they'll say, oh, nobody would ever do that. I mean, you would never kill a whole community. You would never, you know, give Native American blankets with diseases on them so they all die off, you know, and that kind of thing. But then you realize, oh, my gosh, yes, they did. So, I mean, you have to understand what they did. You have to accept what they did. And you kind of have to respect, like, wow, like, you guys really went really hard to do all this stuff to put your name in history when you could have tried to study, when you could have tried to do, you know, when you could have tried to do other things to put yourself in history, you know, in the right way. I mean, no, I definitely don't admire it. I don't agree with it. I don't admire it. But you're like, you know, wow, these people put forth a lot of effort over the course of hundreds of thousands of years to try to, you know, to try to change history. And then if you think about it at the end, I mean, they have. So they set forth this goal, and every time they always achieve it. You know what I mean? People still think that Africa is like, you know, these old, you know, live in the middle of nowhere, people who don't have running water, you know, don't have homes, people who eat animals off the street, you know. And then I had a friend, I mean, I know Africa's different, obviously, but I had a friend who went to Africa recently, and he's like, wow, this place is awesome. Like, their homes are beautiful. These people are great. They have these amazing restaurants. You know what I mean? Like, and, but when you think about Africa, stereotypically, because of the way that we've been brainwashed, you think Africa is just this really poor country when they can't do anything. And again, that is them achieving their goal again. It's crazy. Like, how do they keep doing this to people? And people aren't waking up and realizing, because some of the stuff in the history books, like, I mean, some of the stuff with, I mean, like, of course, labor's in history books, of course, you know, the Trail of Tears, you know, and some of the Native American stuff that they did, that's in the history books. You know what I mean? So it's not like there isn't some knowledge. Of course, they don't know everything that happened, but they do know that these people are capable of killing off a whole race, basically. You know what I mean?
Okay. And what do you do with that information? And what do you do with that information? Because they said that they're not like that anymore. We love you. They said that when they walked in.
That's what they say every time they go in to take over a nation and kill these people. And we're stupid enough to be like, okay, no problem. Yeah, sure. No, you don't trust these people. These are the cops are killing people. They're murdering teenagers and women and men and people who have no guns, people who have their hands up, people who are fixing a car inside the road, people who, you know, people who are at a pool party. You know what I mean? They're doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But then they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then when you look back and you look at these cases and you see what happened to these people, so, okay, maybe the cop got fired, but this cop has a pension and he can get paid for the rest of his life. He won't go to jail. You know what I mean? Or he's transferred to a different one so that people don't know who he is. Or, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, this is all part of what they're doing. I mean, it's complete. It's complete. I don't even know who else they need to take over. They're taking over everybody. I have no idea who else they could possibly try to go take over.
Mm-hmm. God, that's their eventual goal.
Well, I mean, they've been trying to do that for a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the one place that obviously they're not going to be able to just kill people into, because, I mean, nah, it's over for you. But, I mean, if you want to achieve that goal, I mean, because, again, you're looking at your track record and you're like, you know, I've done pretty good. I have literally taken over everybody and stolen everybody's stuff. So I feel like I probably could do it again. And you know what? You probably could, but not in heaven.
Hey, that's
no, but no. But I definitely want them to try so they can fail. I want you to try. So if you can fail, please, go ahead and try. Please.
Okay. Remember Lucifer, son of the morning. He was. He said that he will exalt his throne above the stars of heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember. And you see where he ended up.
That's what they want to do.
And you see where he ended up, though, right? But then they might look at that and say, well, you know, he does have, you know, more powers than some people, so maybe that's where I want to be. Well, that's where you want to be. You and him can have a conversation. Y'all can hang out together because, I mean, he's not getting anywhere else.
Right. Example. To be a god, you have to be what? All-knowing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to be everywhere. All, you know, omnipresent. And you have to have all power, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so a superpower right now, today. Are we all knowing? Yeah, that's what all knowledge is. At least that's what we claim. And then are we omnipresent? Are we everywhere recording you, documenting you, and we can play it back? Yeah. And do we think that we're all powerful? We can just blow anybody and everybody off the planet at a snap of a finger? So we have reached the status of God.
Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, well, that's all we're talking about. We just talking about because they projected onto our minds that we believe it and worship them. So it's very interesting that, you know, all the characteristics that make up what we call God, that we are reduplicating and making it us today. That is pretty wild. If you're trying to reach a God status, I guess you reach it.
I mean, I guess to your little taking God status, sure. But, I mean, y'all know that's not the real thing. They know that, too. But anyway, I got to jump off your dad. I love you guys.
Thank you for your input. We'll come back next week, and we'll finish off this. But anyway, I'm glad we had a chance to cover some of these things, and I think this is chapter 3 is coming alive. It's coming alive. That's what they wrote the last day or the last few days. Yeah, so it's been building. So, right. Well, let's have a word of prayer and cut off here.
All right, dear God, thank you for the discussion. Thank you for the reading. Thank you for the passing forth and continue to give us understanding and continue to bless us and continue to go out certain ways. In the name, I do pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, love you guys.
All right.